Well, guys, this is our last fourth session. Thanks so much for walking through three of them with us. But we're going to talk about the most significant and exciting moment in all of history, which is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So we're going to complete the four-week presentation of the person work of Christ today in the Gospel of Mark by discussing his amazing bodily resurrection from the dead. So this culminates the three facts that you need to believe in order to be a Christian and have your sins forgiven. First, concerning Jesus, that he is the Son of God, fully human and fully God. Secondly, that he died on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And third, that he was physically raised from the dead. If you believe those things, then you can be forgiven of your sins. Those are central. And the Gospel of Mark is written, and so the other Gospels as well, written to help us believe that. All right. So last time you were to read Mark 12 through 16. Do you have any questions about the whole Gospel of Mark now? You've read the whole thing. Any questions about our studies up to this point? Are you ready to get into talking about the resurrection? Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Well, let's look at the first three studies that we've had. The first study, we saw that Jesus is the Son of God, fully human, fully God, and we zeroed in on his authority. He had the authority to teach in ways that no one had ever taught before. He had authority over demons. He had authority over every disease and sickness. He had authority over the wind and the waves. He had authority to forgive sins. And in the middle of all of that, he had tremendous tenderness and compassion for people. People loved to be with him, and he loved to be with them. He wanted a relationship with them. So we zeroed on the person of Jesus and these incredible miracles and all the works that he did. The second study, we talked about specifically Jesus and sin, Jesus' authority to forgive sin. We saw that sin is a heart issue coming from a defilement of the heart, resulting in actions that God finds offensive, that violate God's commandments. We talked about God's laws, but especially the two great commandments, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we don't do that. We break those sins. We break those commandments, and we sin. Last time, we talked about Jesus' death on the cross as a ransom for our sins. So Jesus said in the second session that our sins are severe and deserve eternal death and hell, and that Jesus has the authority from God to forgive us all of our sins and to free us or rescue us from eternity in hell. And so he does that, as we saw last time, by his physical death on the cross as a ransom in our place for our sins. We saw that Jesus' death resulted in the curtain in the temple being torn in two from top to bottom, meaning that we have access now to God and that our sins are forgiven by faith in him. So now we're going to talk about the resurrection. The fourth study is the resurrection, the greatest miracle in world history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're going to present it as the Gospel of Mark does, as a historical fact. It's also the basis of our hope for eternal life beyond the grave. And it's proof that, number one, Jesus is who he claimed to be, and number two, that God has accepted Jesus' death in our place on our behalf. Those are the two things that it proves. So let's first talk about Jesus predicting his own resurrection, all right? Would one of you be willing to read the part here at the end on page 33, Mark 16, 1 through 14?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb,
for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen.
So this is the account of Jesus' actual resurrection from the dead. He had predicted it ahead of time. He told them that he was going to die, and on the third day he would rise again. And so even in the account here, it says, there you'll see him just as he told you. This is the very thing he said he could do. He said that he had the power to rise up from the dead. This makes Jesus unique. No other religious leader in history has claimed this kind of absolute power over death. We already saw earlier that he raised Jairus's daughter from the dead, but that was not the same as Jesus's resurrection. The reason is that Jairus's daughter later died. She was just basically, effectively, like waking her up from sleep. She was raised into the exact same life she had been in, minus the sickness that she had. So she's healthy, a healthy 12-year-old girl, but just a normal, healthy 12-year-old girl who will later die. So she's still under that same death penalty. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was done forever with death. He rose in a different body, a resurrection body. It was an actual, literal, physical body, the same one that had been crucified, but it was a glorified body. It was a different kind of resurrection body that can never die again. It's a resurrection body. And that is the final answer to the death problem. Jairus' daughter, that was not a final answer. That was a sign. Remember I talked about signs when you're driving to New York and I said there's a sign that's like 116 miles. You're not there yet. We're not there yet on the death problem. And Jesus, you know, lived and died and rose again 2,000 years ago. People still die. We've all encountered, you know, you talked about your brother dying. You know, this is something we all face. Death is still a problem. Jesus has not finally solved it yet, but he will. And his own resurrection is a pledge or a promise that, you know, and he says in another gospel, because I live, you also will live. He promised to give us the same resurrection body that Jesus himself had. Now, when you look at this account of Jesus' resurrection, how would you characterize the attitude of his disciples when they saw him or when they heard about this resurrection?
Astounding unbelief.
They didn't believe it. I mean, you look at it, look at verse 14. It says, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. Erica, what does that tell you? You talked earlier about faith and all that. These were the 11 apostles, and what do those verses tell you about their heart state at this point?
It was still hard. Like, they didn't believe, they didn't have the confidence that he was going to rise from the dead. And so when people told him, they were just like, no.
They didn't believe it.
Don't believe it.
Yeah, and it says they didn't believe those who saw him after he had risen. So those people are eyewitnesses. Now, we already saw that it was women, these women. Verse 9, for example. It says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, and she went and told those who had been with him, and, you know, as they mourned and wept, but when they heard that he was alive, they didn't believe it. So she's an eyewitness, okay? And then, you know, earlier in this account, these eyewitnesses came, the women, and they went in. They said, who will roll back the stone? And they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, and they said, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. And so we've got physical evidence of the bodily resurrection, which is the empty tomb. You've got the grave clothes physically there, but Jesus is not there. You've got an angel there saying he is risen. And then you've got actual encounters between Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and some women and some eyewitnesses, and then the 11 apostles themselves. It says, he appeared to the 11 themselves. And so those eyewitness accounts of Jesus after his resurrection from the dead are the foundation of the whole Christian religion. They later went and told everyone what they had seen. All right? It says in another book in the New Testament that he appeared to more than 500 people. There are more than 500 eyewitnesses. Remember, Jesus was very famous. Remember, we talked about huge crowds. And many of those crowds became genuine believers in Jesus before his crucifixion. When they heard that he had died, obviously they were stunned and shocked and saddened, and they were mourning. It says even in this account, it says that she went and told those who had been with him, and as they mourned and wept. See, they're mourning and weeping. Why? Because Jesus is dead, so they believe. So they're shocked, they're stunned. They didn't really understand how he could die. They did not understand that he came as a ransom for that he had to die. So they were grieving and all that. And then now he comes and appears, and they all became eyewitnesses of his resurrection. And that is why Christianity became a major world religion that effectively spiritually conquered the Roman Empire over the next three centuries. You know, it just grew and grew and grew, and it's been growing now for 2,000 years. Jesus is the most famous human being on planet Earth. All over the world, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people believe in him and are following him. But it all started with this. It started with his bodily resurrection from the dead and eyewitnesses saying, I saw him after he had risen from the dead. So that is vital. The significance of that resurrection is proof, first of all, of who Jesus was. He claimed to be able to do this, and then he did it. So that he is Son of God. Proof also that the death penalty for our sins has been paid in full and accepted by God. And there's hope, therefore, for our own eternal life in heaven. We don't need to fear death. And that's what ended up happening. The early followers of Jesus were completely unafraid of death at that point. Completely unafraid. Because they knew that if they died, they would live forever. That they would go to heaven. They weren't afraid of heaven. They weren't afraid of dying and going to heaven. They weren't afraid of anything people could do. You couldn't shut them up. And I tell you what, that had a tremendous impact on people who were afraid of death, because fear of death is universal. People all over the world are afraid to die. Even people who say that they're not. All right? If their car hits some black ice and they start skidding off the road and heading toward a copse of trees, their heart's going to be palpitating. They're going to be, you know, screaming and all that. Why? Because they're afraid to die. It's normal. But Jesus came to take away that stinger from death and to give us hope. And that's the Christian faith. Now, after that, he sent them out with the gospel message. Danny, would you be willing to read verse 15 and 16?
Mm-hmm. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Okay, so they sent them out with this message. And that's why 2,000 years later, hundreds of millions of people believe in him, because messengers went out in every generation. They've gone out and they proclaimed the gospel. And look what he tells them to proclaim. Go into all the world, the whole world, and proclaim the good news. Gospel means good news to the whole creation. The good news is Jesus is the Son of God, came into the world to be our Savior from sin and death. That's good news. And his death on the cross in our place, that's good news. We don't have to die and go to hell. And his resurrection is good news. We will live forever by believing in him. And it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So Danny, you asked, couldn't somebody just die for their own sin? Yeah, well, most people do. That's called being condemned. That's the hell that Jesus talked about. That's terrifying. Nobody wants that. Nobody should want that. So now we come again, as we do every we at the end of each of these four sessions, back to the original call. Erica, could you read it one last time for us?
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
So every week, Jesus is effectively standing in these words. It's like he's here and he's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling each of us, all right? The time is fulfilled. the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of your sins, turn away from your sins, and believe the good news about Jesus. That's what he's calling each one of us to do, to believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. And in doing this, we will enter the kingdom of God, where we will live forever and even beyond our own death. So, what do we learn today? Christ rose from the dead physically on the third day. His tomb was empty. He appeared physically to eyewitnesses who then went all over the world and testified to what they saw, to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in this way, Christ is unique among all the leaders in all of history. No one else has defeated death. So, what now? Well, there's a lot more we could say about salvation, a lot more questions that you may have, a lot more things about following Christ. But you know the most important and basic facts about Jesus from these four studies. You know what you need in order to follow Christ. Do you have any questions or final comments as we finish up?
If he's alive right now, where is he?
We believe he's in heaven. He's in a spiritual realm that is beyond the five-sense world. We have this physical world we live in that you can see, that you can hear and taste and all that. Jesus is beyond in a spiritual realm called heaven. But we believe he's still in his resurrection body. So we don't see him, and that's where faith comes in. You have to believe in an invisible Jesus. That's great. You have any questions, comments as we finish up? Okay, great.